May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You guys are troopers for standing through that whole reading. I have a story to tell that some of you know because of how much it shaped my life. When I was in seminary, I rode my bike everywhere. I didn't have a car. And I was on my bicycle for at least an hour a day. And I loved riding, but in the fall of my last year of school, I started to notice something strange. I could hop on my bike and ride it for hours with no problem. But when I got off my bike, my body kind of wanted to stay frozen in bicycle position like this. And it was getting harder and harder to straighten up. And it was also starting to hurt. So I went to the campus health center and I asked my doctor, who gave me a physical therapy referral and told me not to worry. And she said, "Oh, every student we see has some low back pain. It's from carrying all those books." But during the weeks that followed, the problem got worse and a little bit worse and then a little bit worse. And the pain in my back went from annoying to aggravating to all-consuming. And the list of things that caused it got longer and longer. So first it was just climbing off my bike, and then it was climbing stairs, and then it was walking, and pretty soon it was standing and sitting and lying down. And by the time I finally got to see a physical therapist, everything hurt all the time, and nothing seemed to make it better. It turned out I had hurt a disc in my lumbar spine. My physical therapist had an analogy about cookies and marshmallows, and your vertebrae are the cookies, and your discs are the marshmallows, and if you imagine a marshmallow getting squished, that hurts a lot. And it would take 8 months of work to squish that disc back into place. And I did my exercises and I went to every appointment, but what I really underestimated was how much it would change my personality to be in pain all the time. And during that year, I started to feel a split between the old me, the person I was before chronic pain, and the new me, the person I was now. The old me was very independent. The new me needed help putting on shoes. The old me could sit and read for hours. The new me started to struggle in school because my concentration was so poor I couldn't read through a page without a break. The old me slept great, and the new me essentially did not sleep. The old me was interested in other people, and the new me had no energy to be interested in anything other than its own pain. The new me cried a lot, and I remember my physical therapist saying to me, "You know, this experience will make you more empathetic to people who are in pain." And I looked up at her from the floor where I had been lying, trying without success to roll from my back to my stomach for almost an hour, and I said, "I was empathetic enough before." But you may be wondering what any of this has to do with the gospel story of the man born blind. Being blind at the time of Jesus was very different from being blind today. Without Braille and without workplace accommodations, there was no modern concept of disability then. If you became blind, your one option for supporting yourself was to sit in the street and beg. And if you were born blind, there were only two possible explanations. Either you were destined to be a terrible sinner deserving of punishment, or your parents had sinned. And when the disciples asked Jesus this question, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" It never occurs to them that there might be a third answer. And Jesus is quick to correct them and show them another way, but the answer he gives them isn't very satisfying. He says, no, neither the man nor his parents committed any sin that caused him to be born blind. So instead, what? This man was consigned to a life of suffering for no reason? He was punished even though he didn't do anything wrong? And many of us in the midst of suffering have been told by well-meaning people, don't worry, God has a plan. Surely Jesus isn't insulting the man by telling him this. And John tells this as a story of miraculous healing, but if I were the man born blind, I would have some serious questions. Like, why did I have to be the one to suffer so that God's works could be revealed? And why couldn't my healing come sooner? And if God is all-powerful and all-good, then why is there suffering in the world at all? But the man born blind is clearly a better person than I am because he asks none of these questions. Instead, he's filled with gratitude, turns immediately to worship Jesus, and he begins witnessing to anyone who will listen about all the wonders he now can see. But I still sit with these questions. What meaning can we make out of this man's suffering? And what meaning can we make out of our own? And I don't have the answers, but for me, it comes back to my experience, which is sometimes the best teacher. It took many months, but my back did slowly get better. And one by one, I got back all of the skills I had lost, and one morning I woke up, and something felt different. And it took me some time to figure out what had changed. But eventually I realized I was no longer in pain. I had just about forgotten what that felt like. And these days, I am mostly free from pain most of the time. And I think now about that time in my life and how badly I wanted the old me back. The version of me who is independent and even-keeled and brave. And I thought that the old me would come back when my body healed, but it never did. Because the old me got frustrated with people who complained about aches and pains all the time. The new me remembers what it felt like to have pain shrink my consciousness down to a pinhole, and how my pain was all I could talk about because it was all I could think about. And so the new me is a little more generous. The old me was not very good at asking for help at all, and the new me has had a lot more practice and has gotten a little bit better at it. The old me took my good health for granted. And the new me is so filled with gratitude for every single thing my body can do, right down to waking up in the morning and getting out of bed. I don't believe, and I never will, that God causes our suffering, but I know, because I have seen it and felt it, that God works with us to help us find meaning in our pain. And no matter what you are going through, you have a choice about whether you will let Jesus come to you and rub the clay of the earth over your eyes, whether you will let God's works be revealed in you. And who knows what the man born blind might have become if he had been born the man with perfect sight. Maybe he would have led a happier and more complete life. Or, on the other hand, maybe he would have gone through life in a hurry, never pausing to think about his many blessings. And maybe he never would have appreciated the wonders of the world that he could see. And maybe he never would have seen any need to know Jesus. As we continue this journey through Lent, may the one who helps us find meaning in our suffering open our eyes and clear our hearts so that we may see all the wonders God has in store for us. Amen.